It is the JR Sport Brief Show here, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody locked in, tuned in all over North America. You could be in Canada. You could be close to Mexico. I don't know where you at. Thank you for being locked in. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey's in New York City. It's Monday, December 9th. The year is 2024. And of course, at the end of the show, I'm going to walk you through a few things that took place this day in sports history. But we've been hanging out for 3 hours already. We have a little bit of a history here just over the past few hours. If you've missed a minute or a second, you can hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Thank you to former Major League Baseball executive David Sampson for joining us to talk about Juan Soto's historic deal in the world of sports. $765 million, up to $800 million he could make playing for the New York Mets. That's Juan Soto. Earlier in the show, we had a chat with Bill Bender, senior writer for the Sporting News. He came through and talked to us about some college football, especially now that the college football playoff, it's in place. We know who's in and we know who's out. Sorry, Alabama. Y'all get used to it. Speaking of out, looks like Derek Carr is out multiple weeks. The guy has a fractured hand. He was concussed against the Giants yesterday. The Saints have been out. They've been done. They've been out. Carson Beck is going to be out for the Georgia Bulldogs indefinitely. At least they probably are not going to play for about a month now as they get a bye in the first round of the college football playoff. It's been a wild weekend. Hickey, have I missed anything? Did anything else happen? I saw Bronny James play 3 minutes last night. Is that noteworthy? No, right?
Oh, he did. I saw LeBron miss the first game of the season yesterday, so Bronny filled in, well, at least for 3 minutes in his stead, huh?
Yeah, he was. I think he was 0-for-2 with a block.
He got a block
in 3 minutes. But you know, a block, you could block. I don't know. I didn't see the block. But he could have just got slapped down, you know, just trying to look. He didn't have to Victor Wembanyama a guy, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Blocks do come in all different shapes and sizes here.
Yeah, I could have the ball, you know, just trying to pull it up from my chest and just slap it down. Block shot. There you go. Congratulations, Bronny James. 0 points, though, in 3 minutes. That's what we expect. 855-212-4227 is the number. That's 855-212-4227. We do have some Monday Night Football going on right now in Arlington, Texas. We have the Cincinnati Bengals, unfortunately a record of 4-8, even though they have one of the best quarterbacks in the game in Joe Burrow. They are taking on everybody's favorite Dallas Cowboys, whose season, despite Cooper Rush having to now throw the ball in place of the injured out for the year Dak Prescott, Dallas is, they're 5-7. The game is currently tied at 7-7, almost 8 minutes to go here in the first half. As Joe Burrow connected with Jamar Chase for a touchdown, and then Cooper Rush also connecting with CeeDee Lamb for a touchdown. And so here are your two scores on the board. We'll keep you up to date as I hang out with you in this next hour. And Hickey, I had mentioned the Simpsons cast and how much cleaner it looks, and I realized why. You know, when you watch a traditional NFL game, for all the camera angles that we do have on the football field, most of the angles are the sideline view as opposed to being directly behind the quarterback. When you're behind the quarterback, I think you have a better chance to see the formation clear. What do you think?
So they did show a highlight on the normal broadcast that I have up here in the studio of the CeeDee Lamb touchdown reception from what it looks like on The Simpsons. It looked fine. Yeah, like you said, Homer is playing quarterback, so that's a little different. It's definitely hard to see the players for sure. Like, their numbers are small and their names are small. So you were able to see Lamb catch it, but it was like kind of difficult to see. You're right, the angle is cool because you are behind the quarterback, so you kind of get like that all 22, if you will, view.
Yeah, like a video game, like Madden.
Right. I don't really mind. After we're done with the show here in an hour, and I'm going to watch this game, I'm not going to go find the Simpsons version. That's my conclusion.
Oh, damn. Ouch. Well, it's a novelty.
No, it is. And it's really probably not made for me, right? It's more for kids trying to get them into the game by, you know.
On Monday night, I guess, right? Well, there's enough kids still up. We got kids who call us all the time.
That's right. So kids are staying up later these days, whether their parents know about it or not.
I was going to say, Hickey, when these kids call us, where are their parents? Remember that kid? That kid called us one time, and I said, "I'm your uncle." He said, "I talked to my dad." My dad said, "I'm not. You're not my uncle."
No, you're not.
If I say I'm your uncle, you better believe it. Okay.
Well, now they're probably with everyone having phones these days. You know, in the room probably.
Oh.
Remember back in the day, like you know, have the house on the cord. So if you ever want to make a phone call, to get in like the living room or the kitchen.
Right, right.
You can't just call a radio station in the middle. You know, when you're supposed to be in bed.
Yeah.
Late at night.
You know, I'm still thinking about that kid who said, "I'm not your uncle." You know what I should have told him? I should have been like, "You're right, I'm your daddy." That's what I should have said.
I get him correct. I think that was over two phone calls, I believe. I think he called once. He told him at the end. Then he called back and said, "Hold on, I asked my dad. He said, you're not my uncle." That's hilarious.
Yeah. I don't need to sow any further confusion. And that's the type of thing that will live and haunt a kid forever. So I'll stay out of it. Stay out of those things. Speaking of haunting, the Dallas Cowboys, he made the field goal. The Dallas Cowboys now lead 10 to 7. Ironically, earlier today, Joe Burrow was asked about this game. These two teams, both the Bengals and the Dallas Cowboys, they are not mathematically eliminated from postseason contention yet. They are not like the New York Jets who are officially done. Joe Burrow had a message for fans. He was asked, "Man, what do you want to tell people about why they should tune in to see you and the Bengals on Monday night? Are y'all fun? Should we even care?"
"Well, I want to win, but I want to be fun to watch. I always want to be fun to watch. You know, I want people to see my command of the offense and accuracy and playmaking ability and everything that I bring to the table. But, you know, I want people to tune into the Bengals and want to watch us."
Okay. I think he wants to win games first. 10-7. It's still early. Joe Burrow leads the NFL in touchdown passes thrown. Now at this point, with one more to Ja'Marr Chase in this game, it's 31. This guy's just, I just hope he is not rotting away on the Cincinnati Bengals. And it's early. He's still relatively early enough in his career. I just hope that he's not rotting away on a team that goes nowhere. I hope he doesn't get into that that Dan Marino space. And you never know. You got Dan Marinos of the world, and then you got the Elways of the world. But right now, knowing that this is the Browns, I wouldn't be all that that optimistic. I'm just saying. We'll keep you up to date on the game as it continues on. Speaking of optimistic, we talked about this earlier on in the show. We got to wait for more college football now that the playoff is set. We talked about all the miserable fans coming out of Alabama. We know the Georgia Bulldogs, they went forward and secured themselves a bye, despite the fact that their starting quarterback, Carson Beck, went down, has a busted up elbow, is going on a second or going to get a second opinion and option to see if and when he might be able to play. Man, even if he might need surgery, we have no idea. I know this much is... Much as Carson Beck can turn the ball over, Bulldogs do not have too much of a chance if he is not available. Not going to go good for these Bulldogs. And their head coach, speaking of optimism, Kirby Smart has never been short on optimism. None at all. And Gunnar Stockton, who had to basically try to lead the team in the second half, well, he came on and he didn't throw the game away. And so Kirby Smart, he was very impressed out of what he saw on Saturday from his backup quarterback.
"Man, the kid played just tough as nails. I mean, and he hadn't gotten to play much this year. That's the hardest part is you don't get a chance to play these guys. The Florida State game is probably the most he's played. But can't say enough about his toughness, character, whatever you want to say. The guy's a phenomenal leader. He made some good plays, and I think everybody else rose up around him."
Bill Bender, who joined us earlier in the show from the Sporting News, Bill Bender believes that even though Texas lost twice to these Georgia Bulldogs, he believes that Texas is best equipped to move forward and win the championship. We'll see. Hickey, this is really tough. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I would have told you Ohio State. I told you 2 months ago that I'm sick of the Georgia Bulldogs and all these turnovers. Texas, it's like, oh, well, we take on Georgia, we lose. This is just wide open. Am I chickening out? Am I cheap? Am I lazy if I just say Oregon looks the best right now? Am I doing too much?
Oh, no, not at all. That's the only, I think, proper reaction to have, just because how good they looked and how bad really everyone else and how inconsistent everyone else has looked. I'm with you 1,000,000%. I'm all in on the Ducks.
It's tough, right? There's just so many teams, so many variables. Like, who really is looking at Boise State and going, oh, Boise State championship, nobody? Who's looking at Indiana and going, oh, yeah, championship, nobody? We got Tennessee and Ohio State, and I don't want to say it's a coin flip of the game, but given how we've seen Ohio State perform more recently, it's a coin flip of a game. College is all over the place. It's wild. We're going to have a fun month. College is so all over the place that people are still trying to look at Bill Belichick and go, man, why are you trying to coach in college? Has the NFL given up on you, Bill Belichick? And Bill Belichick actually admitted earlier today, he was on Pat McAfee's show, of course, because Bill Belichick is paid to be there, like another quarterback, New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers. Bill Belichick admitted that, yeah, I'm talking to North Carolina, and I might go there. Matter of fact, Pat McAfee and the crew, they asked him, like, how would you run a college program? Bill, tell us if you're going to go.
Let me put this in capital letters, if.
Yeah.
IF. If I was in a college program, the college program would be a pipeline to the NFL for the players that had the ability to play in the NFL. It would be a professional program, training, nutrition, scheme, coaching, techniques that would transfer to the NFL. It would be an NFL program at a college level. And, you know, I feel very confident that I have the contacts in the National Football League to pave the way for those players that would have the ability to have the opportunity to compete in the National Football League, whether they're good enough or not, I don't know. But they would be ready for it. I don't have any doubt about that.
Man, look at Bill Belichick. If, I guess Bill Belichick knows that even when the NFL season is done and we have more openings, that he's not going to get a gig. Because why would you leave the NFL? Well, let's be clear. He didn't leave the NFL. The Patriots left him. And then he didn't get hired by anybody, including the Atlanta Falcons. And so what is Bill Belichick going to look like at college? Well, I think three players who know him very well, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, and Tom Brady, they sat down on Fox yesterday and they gave everybody their thoughts. Is Bill Belichick going to work out at college? Could you imagine him recruiting young men? Listen to this.
Belichick is actually interviewing for college jobs. Can you imagine him coaching college?
No.
Absolutely not. Recruiting an 18-year-old?
Listen, you really want to come here? I mean, we don't really want you anyway, but I mean, I guess you could come. We'll figure out if you play.
If you bring your parents and use them as a third party, you're gone. You're off the team.
Yeah, wow. Hickey, they were joking, right? Or are they being serious? Because everything, there's a little bit of reality in every joke, right?
I was just about to say that exactly. I agree. That's funny, but it's funny because it's real, and it's real because it's true.
Oh, man. I want him to get this job now. I'm a little disappointed. No, am I? If Bill Belichick doesn't go back to the NFL, I will be disappointed because we don't get any more of the nasty press conferences. We don't get the jerk responses. I will miss that. But if he goes to college, I think we open up a different can of worms. I want to know what that looks like.
I think it's much more intriguing. Like, do you really want to see him, I don't know, Jacksonville or like some of New Orleans? I think he's so much more intriguing and everything's more interesting if he's in Carolina coaching that team than he would be in most NFL places where I know he's only been with one team. Well, at least he's had success with one team, we'll say. But it's like it's sort of like been there, done that. We've seen it already. I would love to see him in a new setting and with totally new kids to see how it goes.
Belichick, you said Belichick and New Orleans wouldn't be fun. I think New Orleans is too fun for Belichick.
Touche.
You know, I think Bill Belichick would melt in New Orleans. I don't know if he could go. Would he? I don't know. He's too. No, but he's having fun. That's right. He got that. He might fit in, right, Hickey? He might fit in. has his young girlfriend. He's living life. He's taking photos. He's hanging out on the beach. I don't know. Maybe Belichick on Bourbon Street. That might be the move. I don't know. But why would he want to inherit Derek Carr, who, unfortunately, a man has been concussed and now has a busted up arm? Who wants that? What? Why are you laughing? That's not funny.
That insult injury. Jeez. Poor guy's probably in a dark closet right now. Who the hell wants that guy, you know? Yeah, man, nobody, he sucks.
Nobody wants. Well, he's been well compensated, you know?
Yes. No, he has.
I'm not going to cry for Derek Carr. He might be in a lot of pain right now. He might not know he's in pain. But if he can look at his bank account, I think he'd be okay. I think.
I would agree.
I don't know. And I don't know. This, I don't want to downplay, you know, pain and hurt. We've seen the NFL change lives because of how brutal of a sport it is. But, yeah, I ain't sorry for Derek Carr. Sorry about that. Anyway, we still got this Monday Night Football game going on right now. The Cincinnati Bengals running back Brown ran for a touchdown. They're trying to decide whether or not he stepped out of bounds. So they'll spend the next 30 minutes trying to figure that one out. And then he also jumped into the Salvation Army basket to celebrate and to be told that he stepped out of bounds. And so now they're reviewing it, and we'll see what happens. So I've seen that one time, Hickey. Who did that? Ezekiel Elliott jumped into that bucket?
That's right, and I'm pretty sure he got fined for it, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, so
by trying to raise awareness for the Salvation Army?
Is that not the NFL way?
Yeah, well, I guess. And then somebody else played whack-a-mole in there. Didn't somebody do that one year?
I think it was the Commanders. I'm trying to think. Was it a visiting team that did that? Maybe.
Somebody did. Like, hey, I scored a touchdown, whack-a-mole.
Good idea.
And now the Salvation Army, is it a bucket or a basket? What is that?
I don't know, but it looks like shiny on the outside. It looks like they've redone it compared to what it normally was in previous years.
Yeah, it's like it got sequins on it.
Yeah, it looks nice. You
ever,
facelift.
You ever seen them guys outside?
With the banging a bell? Not in a while, but I have seen them before, yeah. Ringing the bell, sitting there, or actually mostly standing, too, which is tough.
Yeah.
Tough on the legs.
I used to see them when I lived in New York, just all the time, outside of Macy's on 34th Street.
It's a long day's work they're putting in.
What, just standing up, ringing a bell?
Imagine just standing there. Like, I don't know how long the shifts are. Just let's just say 2 hours. Imagine standing in one spot for 2 hours, ringing a bell constantly.
Oh, man. You think they wear earplugs? Earplugs? No. No earplugs, right?
I don't think so.
You got to be able to communicate with the potential donatees. Is that what you call them? Donators?
Donators.
interesting
Get
stuff.
Get their $2.
What happened? They didn't count that as a touchdown, did they?
No, they did. This is the extra point. He was inbounds for a touchdown.
Oh my goodness. Wow. And they counted it. Yeah, 14-10, the Bengals now lead the Dallas Cowboys. And his celebration into the Salvation Army bucket, it doesn't go without recognition. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we talked about Bill Belichick. He might be moving to college. He might be the next coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. One team, NFL squad, one team that did not want Bill Belichick is the Atlanta Falcons. And they may have reached a point where they don't even want their starting quarterback. I'm talking about Kirk Cousins, who yesterday decided to throw even more interceptions. We'll fill you in on the other side of the break. Of course, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history before we roll out. But right now, we'll take a break. Come back and talk about Kirk. It's the JR Sport Brief Show in the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we just talked about Monday Night Football. It's live right now in Arlington, Texas. The Cincinnati Bengals just took a lead against the Dallas Cowboys. 14-10. And 2 minutes to go before we get to halftime. Yeah, we'll keep you up to date. Peter Schwartz will be here in a few minutes to provide an update on everything going on in the world of sports. Right before we went to break, I talked about Bill Belichick. And earlier today, he admitted that he has been in contact with North Carolina, that it is a possibility that he ends up as their head coach, even though it's not done. It's not finalized. It's not over. The fat lady hasn't sung, if you can still say that. It's still up in the air. Now, one of the NFL jobs that Bill Belichick did entertain, or at least the team entertained him earlier this year, was the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons ultimately did not hire Bill Belichick to run their organization. They brought in someone familiar with the organization, someone who coached for the team, was an interim coach, a former coordinator, Raheem Morris. Unfortunately for the Atlanta Falcons, they suck right now. And a big part of that is the fact that the offense can't get running. A big part of that is that the guy that they brought in, Kirk Cousins, to help move this team forward stinks. Yesterday, he goes back to Minnesota, the team that he played in last year before he tore his Achilles. Kirk Cousins throws two more interceptions. The Minnesota Vikings ultimately beat the Falcons 42-21. These are two teams going in different directions. Last year, the Minnesota Vikings let Kirk Cousins go following his injury. Let him go into free agency. They draft J.J. McCarthy, and then they bring on Sam Darnold, who's basically been a, I don't want to say a bust, he's been a castaway since he was given the boot by the New York Jets. And now Sam Darnold out here. This man threw five touchdowns yesterday against the Minnesota Vikings. There's a chance that Sam Darnold might be the NFL comeback player of the year. And for a man who was expected to just hold the job until J.J. McCarthy could take it away before he tore up his own leg, the Minnesota Vikings might have a good problem. They might have the problem that the Falcons wish they had. Hey, we have a damn good starting quarterback. We just drafted a rookie. In the case of the Falcons, it's Penix. In the case of the Minnesota Vikings, it's J.J. McCarthy. What the hell do we do? And Sam Darnold's going, if he continues like this, not even so, he's going to make more than $10 million. There might be a team that says, hey, man, come on down. Be our starting QB. Compete for the job here, this and that. The Minnesota Vikings want him if he has success in the postseason. If the Minnesota Vikings knock off the Lions, are they just going to say, no, we have to start J.J. McCarthy? Sam, goodbye? Sam Darnold wants to keep pushing the buttons. He wants to keep pushing the edge. Meanwhile, the Falcons, there's a lot of people who want to push Kirk Cousins to the bench. Let's talk about the winners. Let's talk about the Minnesota Vikings, who now have a record of 11-2. They have one of the best head coaches in the entire NFL in Kevin O'Connell. O'Connell, he was asked about Sam Darnold, and he's like, man, impressive, impressive, impressive.
His ability to, you know, navigate a very, very uneasy pocket, to say the least, and get up and out and still keep his eyes up and find Justin, who really, you know, is on a route there that can declare a lot of different ways. So finding him, even though, you know, he was by himself back there, was, you know, quite a task.
Oh, come on. That was one touchdown. Sam Darnold threw four touchdowns yesterday. That's not money for a guy making only $10 million. $10 million for a backup. Or excuse me, $10 million for a quarterback means that you just, you're in backup city. We trust you to be a good backup. And something, Joe Flacco's making about 10. Is he a good backup? I'm asking.
For backup standards, I would say so, yeah.
Okay. All right. 10 mil. You think we're going to see him on an NFL team next year?
Ooh, if he wants to play, we definitely will.
Okay. All right. I don't know how much more time Joe Flacco has after his showing this year, but somebody will give him a chance. I don't have no doubt about Sam Darnold. He's going to get more than a chance next year. He's going to make more than $10 million somewhere. Let's see what the next month or so looks like. That will determine how a lot of things go. Now, having said that, the fans in Minnesota were chanting MVP at Sam Darnold. Now, Sam Darnold, based on his past experiences with the New York Jets, and maybe even, dare I say, the Carolina Panthers, I know damn well Sam Darnold probably never thought that he would hear chants of MVP in an NFL stadium. But he did. The humble Sam Darnold. How did it feel to be showered with chants of MVP?
Obviously a lot of emotion there on the sideline. But, you know, with those things, you know, the season is so, you know, it is what it is, I think, at the end of the day. The MVP chants are great, but, you know, at the end of the day, we just got to continue to grow and get better.
Hickey couldn't even believe it himself. He's like, did that really happen? he had to laugh and go like, wait, really? I don't know. Just and then he had to downplay it. He's like, it feels good, but let me downplay it because that's what a winner does. I don't know what winning feels like.
That's a good point. That is funny, right? It's almost like he's still processing in the moment what it means to get MVP chance.
Yeah, well, good luck to him. Meanwhile, I told you for the Falcons, and I said this last week, and my thought process hasn't changed. Kirk Cousins, despite the results and the outcome, which unfortunately has pushed the Atlanta Falcons to below 500 right now, a record of 6-7. I still think they're going to be battling it out with the Bucks to figure out who wins the NFC South. I still believe starting Kirk Cousins in Minnesota was the best idea. And then when you take a look at the upcoming games for the Falcons, they got the Raiders. Then they have the New York Giants. If Kirk Cousins can't wake up and do better against these two bum teams, then yeah, Kirk Cousins has to find the bench. This man leads the NFL currently with 17 interceptions. He has 8 interceptions in the last 4 games. And I get it. You may look at it at the reverse and go, well, let's throw Penix out there. This is a team, the Falcons. They're trying to win the division. They're trying to get to the postseason. They're trying to go on a run and a roll. What are the odds that that's going to happen with Penix Jr.? Give him a chance. Wait until Kirk really stinks it up. I think you owed it to him to see what he can do in Minnesota. He stunk. End zone interception. I'm pulling my hair out. I'm like, what is this guy doing? If Kirk can't do it against the Raiders, yeah, put Penix out there. Kirk will understand. Hickey, I feel like I'm delaying the inevitable, but I just think, I don't know, Penix, is he really going to be all that much better than what we've gotten from Kirk Cousins, especially in these high-profile situations, for a guy who realistically hasn't thrown a meaningful NFL pass yet? I still think the answer is no.
We don't know. He absolutely could flop. He also could come in here and provide a spark, you know, rejuvenate this team. I think at this point, it's the risk is worth finding out. He may be even worse, which, as you just outlined with the numbers, it's pretty hard to do, but he could really stink it up. I think at this point, at 6-7, 4 games to go, despite now sweeping the Buccaneers, you are looking up at them in the standings in the AFC, in the NFC South. You are out of the playoff picture in terms of the wild card. You lost 3 games, or now 4 games in a row. I wouldn't be able to sit around any longer and just throw Kirk out there and expect something different. It feels like at this point, it's a definition of insanity. And you know what? It is the Raiders. They stink. Is that the perfect time, though, if you want to try out a rookie quarterback? See what he's got? Throw
not,
him out there?
Not there, not on the road, and I get it. Vegas isn't your normal road city. You get a split crowd, given the fact that everybody goes to party and see their home team as the away team in Vegas. Nah, I think there's bigger things to look at. It's the postseason. Like, they got to try and hope to ride that train if they put Penix out there. You can't yo-yo back and forth. Like, once you go ahead and throw the hook out there, you're done. That's it. You got to ride it the rest of the way. After that, you look like a clown. You have to wait until there is no more doubt. Otherwise, if you got to go back and forth, you've created more controversy and doubt for whatever remains of the season. And you also create, you know, you put yourself on a hot seat because people start looking at every decision that you make. And I know this sounds crazy, but sometimes the best decision that you make is not making one. Raheem Morris needs to be careful. A matter of fact, he was asked whether or not he would bench Kirk Cousins. This is Raheem's response.
You know, Kirk played significantly better than he did the week before. We got a chance to go out there and focus on us and get a chance to go out there and really work on what we do and what we do well. And we'll do whatever is best to go win football games. And Kirk's definitely a part of that.
Oh, okay. All right. That's what he said. Well, Kirk Cousins is pretty matter of fact, pretty straightforward, pretty even. Let's listen to the man himself. Hey, Kirk. You stink. You're throwing the ball to the wrong team. How you feeling?
Disappointing day today. Left plays out there, made mistakes at times. It's never going to be a perfect game, but you certainly point to some different moments that were important that we didn't capitalize, and now we got to look forward to what we still have in front of us.
Okay. Hey, that's why they get paid the big bucks. Millions of people are watching them, and then after you stink, you got to stand there and take it. It's a part of the job. Some guys can't do it. Kirk Cousins can. Good for him. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know what? We had mentioned so many quarterbacks and guys who may or may not have a job next year. Who's going to be a starter? Who's going to be a backup? We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to tell you about one quarterback. This is another year. We don't know what the hell he's going to do. I'll tell you who it is on the other side. Of course, we'll fill you in on a few things that took place this day in sports history.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you to Peter Schwartz for coming by and providing that that update. Thank you. This is Monday Night Football. Right now, the Cincinnati Bengals lead the Dallas Cowboys in Arlington 17-10. We're at halftime right now. You take a look at the stats. You take a look at the numbers. Joe Burrow is continuing to put up ridiculous numbers for a team that is, unfortunately, a 4-8. Joe Burrow, 207 yards passing already in the first half with two touchdowns. Jamar Chase having the best season of a wide receiver in the NFL. 87 receiving yards in the first half. Hickey, they didn't come to an agreement on a contract with Jamar Chase before the year. I don't know. I get it. They're not going to keep T. Higgins. He's eventually going to get the boot after his tag is done at the end of this year. But it would have been wise to give Chase his money as opposed to him going out and having another standout year, leading the NFL in basically every receiving category.
It would have been wiser and cheaper. For whatever reason, the Bengals said, we'll wait. We don't want to get this deal done. We don't like the numbers you're throwing out here. And it's going to cost him. Do you think there's any chance they trade him?
Jamar Chase?
Yes.
It is. I think it's so tough. And look, man, mutiny from Joe Burrow? I get it. He has his money. But could you do that to the guy? Could you put the man in the house and just strip the house bare? Mixon left last year. And I don't think people really paid attention to how much and how important he's been to them or was to them now that he's down in Houston. Who's going to pick up a contract on a wide receiver that's going to make, what, another 30-plus, 32, 33, 34, 35? Like, as of tonight, right now, with these two more touchdowns, Jamar Chase has 15 touchdowns on the season. Hickey, we're not done yet. We got more games.
It's insane. And again, I think a lot of teams, I know it's a lot of money that he's going to command, but we saw a market for Tyreek Hill a few years ago, right? When he was on the trade block, Dolphins did it.
The money just is higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. Like, I get it. He left for 30. He had a Super Bowl already at that point. You know, does Tyreek Hill care about that? He probably just wants to be paid. And if I'm Chase, why would I want to leave Burrow? I've been playing with the guy since college, you know? It's tough. Just another situation of the Browns being stupid and being cheap. Can't wait to talk about this tomorrow, given everything that is taking place. Because one of these teams is going to feel that it is still alive and the other team is basically going to be buried. And so we'll see what happens. Bart Winkler will keep you up to date on Monday Night Football, especially after it concludes, to go ahead and get that update there. That's thinking about the future. It's thinking about the next hour. It's thinking about our show tomorrow. But let's go back in time, because this is the time of my show where we go back in time. Today is Monday. It's December 9th. The year is 2024. It's been that way all day long. We're going to go back and talk about a few things that took place this day and other years in sports history.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for This Day in Sports History.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Let's go back in time to December 9th, 1984, because we had a running back. He's playing for the Los Angeles Rams. His name was Eric Dickerson. And on this day, as the Rams beat the Oilers 27-16, Eric Dickerson, he broke O.J. Simpson's single-season rushing record of 2,003 yards. Eric Dickerson, this day, against those Oilers, he rushed for 215 yards. Let's take a listen, courtesy of the NFL.
He needs 6 yards, everybody, for a National Football League single-season rushing record, and they're all on their feet for Eric Dickerson.
He's got it. And a brand new single-season rushing record for the outstanding star from Southern Methodist.
2,007 yards. Nobody has ever done it better. Eric is number one.
Hey, hello. SMU shout out in there as well. It's good to know that they can play college football again. How about this? He finished the season with 2,105 yards. It's 2,105 yards. That is still the single season record. Right now, today, Saquon Barkley for the Philadelphia Eagles. He has 1,623 yards. So Saquon Barkley, with this one more, with this additional game now, we got 17. Saquon could end up passing Eric Dickerson's single season rushing record. Not quite the same, an additional game, but a record is a record, right? Touche. Also, this day, December 9th, 2018, Tom Brady, he threw a touchdown pass. He broke Peyton Manning's record for all-time touchdown passes. This includes the postseason. This day, unfortunately for Tom Brady, the Dolphins beat the Pats 34-33, but Brady threw touchdown number 582.
Looking to go back in front. Brady, fake. Brady, throw. Touchdown. Julian Edelman, a dart from Brady. New England takes the lead.
Wrong. Three steps to the middle and then see you later. Perfect pass from Brady.
Yeah, when Brady finally quit, thank God he finally quit. He threw 649 touchdown passes. 649 all time. Regular season, postseason. And Tom Brady, of course, is the leader in everything. Maybe Patrick Mahomes will. Well, records are made to be broken. Somebody will get him eventually. Also, this day in sports history, December 9th, the year was 2023. Oh, I remember this. So, well, you know what? They just end up whatever. Yeah, just play this from CBS Sports HQ.
Breaking news from Major League Baseball, where Shohei Ohtani is signing with the Los Angeles Dodgers. The two-way superstar will get a 10-year deal worth $700 million, far and away the largest contract in the history of North American sports. The 29-year-old is coming off his second career MVP award when he led the American League in home runs, slugging percentage, and on-base percentage. He also went 10-5 with a 3.14 ERA across 23 starts.
Yeah, and then they ended up winning a World Series. And Shohei Ohtani had a 50-50 year. And then, oh yeah, almost exactly a year later, Juan Soto decides to leave the New York Yankees and go to the New York Mets. Oh yeah, you thought Ohtani's contract was the richest contract in sports history? It only took less than a year for Juan Soto to say, hey, hold my beer. Hickey, by the way, I saw the beer shower. He was celebrating in a bunch of beer.
Not bad, right? How would you celebrate? You sign a contract for $765 million. What's the first thing you're doing?
I guess he loves what he does. Me, I would have quit. You know, but I'm joking. You got to show up and earn the money a little bit, you know? It's 765 mil, 15 years. Opportunity and option to move into 800 million? I don't know. Whoa. If Victor Wembanyama could, well, a basketball player is never going to get a 15-year deal. But what is Victor Wembanyama's contract going to look like? What are they going to pay him? By the time the salary cap keeps going up, he's going to make like 70, 80 mil a year? We're going to have a basketball player making 100 a year soon enough. Watch. It might be Wembanyama.
No, I mean, you look at, yeah, it should be. With the escalators, how young he is, like, and will there be another Wembanyama? I don't know.
Nah, I don't know
like,
about
well,
that, bro.
What about Cooper Flagg?
He's 6'8".
Well, just in the sense of like a big time player who's trying to command a big time contract.
I don't know if he should exceed
in a few, you know, because he's what, 2 or 3 years behind Wembanyama. You should be able to maybe, you know.
I don't know if he's going to be. He's going to be good. I don't think he's going to be that good. Like, he'll be multiple time All-Star good. Like, run the NBA max contract type. I don't know about that.
Okay.
We'll see. I don't know. Victor Wembanyama is literally, his logo from Nike is an alien. So, Cooper Flagg is going to be damn good. Maybe a future Hall of Famer. I don't know if he's reached alien status. Speaking of reaching a status, we have reached the end of the show. Damn it, that came quick. Hey, thank you to David Sampson for joining us from Major League Baseball, a former Marlins president. Nothing personal with David Sampson. Thank you to Bill Bender for joining us to talk some college football from the Sporting News. If you've missed a minute of the show, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Be safe, be well, be cool, be smooth. Thank you for listening. And thank you to Ryan Hickey. Y'all be cool. Thank you. Bart Winkler coming up next.